Someone once said, "Blessed is he who expects no gratitude, for he shall not be disappointed." Sadly, Thanksgiving often seems in short supply, even on the holiday bearing its name. So how do you reverse the trend? How can you be thankful every day, even when facing trials? John MacArthur shows you next on Grace to You Weekend. You know, it's easy to be thankful when your health is good and your family is secure, finances are stable. Yet Christians are to be thankful in every circumstance, even when you lose your job, your health fails, or there's a family crisis. Question is, how do you do that? What does it take to be an always thankful person? John MacArthur will show you next on Grace to You Weekend. With the Thanksgiving weekend coming our way here in the U.S., it may be that you're leaving town, if you haven't already, for a family get-together. So, John, as our listeners are scattering, how about taking a moment to pass along your greetings and perhaps some encouragement on how folks can stay spiritually nourished during this celebration?
Yeah, before everybody goes away and nobody is listening in their normal place, we just want to wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving. We just want to say that we're thankful. I am thankful. There are no words to express my gratitude. I express it again and again and again constantly to the Lord for his work through you, our partners, our listening family at Grace to You. So we want to say thanks to you. Wish there was a personal way that I could say that to every one of you who have prayed for us, supported us, who have learned from us and passed the material on to somebody else so that God has used you to change lives. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful celebration this Thanksgiving. I hope as you gather together with family and friends, you'll have the opportunity to express your joy over what the Lord has done for you. And I know there are trials in our lives, but God sustains us. And sometimes we're even more thankful for that sustaining through great trials. I hope you can share that in your family environment this Thanksgiving. I also hope you can share your joy over the gift of salvation, and maybe the Lord will use you in an evangelistic way to reach someone in your family who has not committed his life to Christ. I think you want to make sure that wherever you are celebrating Thanksgiving, you not only express thanks to the Lord constantly because this is his will for you, but that you make sure the people around you hear that thanks so they know how grateful you are for his work in your heart, and God may use that testimony to draw someone to himself.
Thanks, John. Now to find out how you can cultivate thankfulness, here's John MacArthur again to help you apply the biblical command to give thanks in everything.
1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul writes, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul simply says, very directly, in everything give thanks. No exceptions, no excuses, nothing is outside those parameters. In everything give thanks. That little phrase, en panti in the Greek, means in connection with everything that occurs. In connection with everything in life, give thanks. No matter what it might be, with obvious exceptions of personal sin, he is saying no matter what happens to you in life, be thankful. By the way, we should remind ourselves that thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude, and being unthankful is the very essence of the unregenerate heart. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 identifies the ungodly with some very direct words. In verse 21, he says, "They knew God, that is, through conscience and creation. God was visibly manifest to them and experientially manifest to them. But even though they knew God through creation and conscience, he says they did not honor him as God or give thanks." There is the indictment on unregenerate man. There is the indictment on the non-Christian. He refuses to do what is basic, and that is to thank God for everything. But when a person becomes a Christian, it is characteristic of that believer, that Christian, to thank God for everything. All of a sudden, there is a new heart and a new soul and a new inner life
There's something different about the inner man, and built into that newness is a heart of thanksgiving that cries out in gratitude to God. It's so hard to find someone more thankful than a brand new Christian. Thanksgiving becomes a part of the fabric of our new life. It's a fruit of the grace of the work of the Spirit within us. The overarching principle that sets it all in place is Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That's really the overarching umbrella that covers every issue of life. No matter what happens, it all falls under the umbrella of Romans 8:28, and it will be by God working together for our good. It may in itself not be good, but God will take a bad thing and turn it to a good purpose for our good and our eternal glory. If you live believing that God is at work, sovereignly controlling all of the contingencies of life, blending them all together, each component to lead to a sovereignly designed goal for your good and glory, then you can handle anything in life and be thankful because you know it fits into the ultimate plan. When we see the end result of what God is doing, blending everything in our lives for ultimate good and glory, then we can in everything give thanks. But isn't it interesting how we somehow fail to be thankful? We live in a day-to-day where it's very difficult for us to rise above the creeping, encroaching, powerful culture that surrounds us, and we live in a thankless age. This has got to be the most thankless age there ever was. On the one hand, you have people who have more than they've ever had, but you also have people who know there's more yet that they don't have. And so no matter what they don't have everything they could have, and so they don't have everything they want, and so it breeds a terrible kind of thanklessness. Consequently, the New Testament injunctions for us to be thankful in this culture need to be reminded over and over again to the people of God so that we don't fall into the patterns of those around us. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, writing at the beginning of the chapter in verse 3, says, "Don't let immorality or impurity or greed be named among you." And he's talking there about deeds. Then in verse 4, he says, "There shouldn't be filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, but rather giving of thanks." And there he's talking about speech. He's saying when you open your mouth, nothing dirty ought to come out. What ought to come out is thanksgiving. Christians ought to be known by their thanksgiving. It's just constant. When they open their mouth, they're expressing gratitude to God. Over in chapter 5, verse 18, same chapter, Ephesians, verse 18, listen to this. He says, "Don't be drunk with wine, that is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit." And what'll happen? "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." That's joy, rejoicing, prayer, praise will happen. Then verse 20, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." A Spirit-filled believer is a normal believer, is a thankful believer, is a joyful believer, is a praying believer. That's what he's saying. If you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be giving thanks for everything. It's just going to gush out of you. You should be giving thanks because of your salvation. You should be giving thanks because of God's outpouring of all the necessities of your spiritual life. And you will be giving thanks if you're filled with the Spirit. Even in the times of trouble, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with" what? "Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God." Even in the times of great anxiety, in the times of great fear and worry and stress, you're to be characterized as thankful. Then he says in verse 18, "For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. By the way, that attaches to all three of those commands, not just to the last one. God's will in Christ Jesus is that you would have constant joy, constant prayer, and constant thanks. That's His will. Now, what does it mean when it says this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus? The in Christ Jesus modifies you, you who are Christians, you who are in Christ Jesus. For you, this is God's will. There's no point in God willing it for the world. They can't be truly and constantly joyful. They cannot be in constant communion with the Lord. They don't even have a relationship, and they're certainly not going to be thankful. But for you who are in Christ Jesus, you who are in the body of Christ, you who have been joined to Him, this will of God is placed on you as a mandate. You say, "Do I have to drum it up myself?" No, it is not only God's will it, it is God's will to work it. Philippians 2:13, it is God's pleasure to will and to do of His own good will in you, right? So he wills it and he works it. Those who are members of the body of Christ then are to be characterized by unceasing joy, prayer, and thanksgiving. That's common, that's normal, that's routine, because we should be filled with the Spirit as a matter of the course of life. Now we look at our life and we say, oh, wait a minute. I wish that were true. I wish I just went around all the time gushing, singing songs of praise and offering prayer to the Lord and thanking Him for everything, no matter what it was, but I don't always do that. Well, that's because you're sinful and because the flesh is still there. But we need to get a little bit better grip on that. How are we going to deal with it? What is it that corrupts those inner springs so that I'm not always joyful, prayerful, and thankful? What corrupts that? I'm going to give you a list, seven of them. Seven things that'll corrupt the spring of your innermost heart and hinder joy, prayer, and thanks. Number one is doubt. Doubt. What do you mean by that? I mean doubt about God. Doubt about the character of God. You're not sure, first of all, that God's word can be trusted. When he says that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose, when he says that his heart and desire for us is for our good and not evil, when he says that he wills the benefits of his love upon us, I'm not sure we can trust him. When he says that he is faithful and his mercies are new every morning, he may not be telling us the truth. If you doubt God's truthfulness, if you doubt God's character, you're going to have trouble being thankful, because you're not going to be necessarily sure that he's really going to keep his promise to make it work for your good. Or if you doubt his sovereign power, maybe you think he means well, he just can't pull it off. You can sure trust his word. He's got good intentions. He just doesn't have the power to deal with it. It's beyond him, too complex, too difficult. He can't work this one out. He's not going to pull this off. So you doubt his sovereign power. Or maybe you doubt his wisdom. You say, I'll tell you what, he wants to keep his word. He's got the ability to keep his word. He's just not too smart. So when he works it all out, it isn't really very good. If he would just consult me, I could clear some things up for him. Because I've got this deal laid out, and if it works my way, it'll be perfect. And you can see by the way it's working that God's plan is certainly not up to the standard of mine. So you're questioning his wisdom. And then some might even question his love and say, well, God wouldn't ever let this happen if he really loved me. Certainly can't love me and be letting this go on. Any of those kinds of doubts that attach themselves to the character, the word, the love, the wisdom, the power, character of God are going to take away your thankfulness. Those are going to poison the springs of your redeemed heart that should be gushing forth in overflowing gratitude. Secondly, selfishness. You can add to doubt selfishness. This will really poison the springs of gratitude. This is the attitude that says, look, I don't want it the way it is. I want it the way I want it. I am not content with the way God is working out my life. I am not content with the circumstances in which I find myself presently. I am not content with the things that are going on in my little world. I do not want it this way. It's not what I desire. That's selfishness. And selfishness basically says, God, get off the throne and put me on it. I want to be in charge. I want to run my life. I want to call the shots. Self-will is more important than God's will. My plan is more important than God's plan. Selfishness. I want my life this way. I want my job this way. I want my church this way. I want my spouse this way. I want my kids this way. I want my career this way. I want. And if God doesn't come in and fit the picture perfectly, then self-will begins to run roughshod over the plan of God, and a thankless spirit is the result. Third, the third hindrance to a thankful heart would be worldliness. Worldliness, the love of the world. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, someone whose vision is filled with trivial things. Someone whose vision is filled with pleasure, prominence, popularity, prestige, people, places, possessions, pursuits. I can't think of any more P's offhand. I mean, they had their eye on a relationship with a person. They had their eye on a certain pleasurable achievement, accomplishment, or experience. They had their eye on a place they wanted to be, or a certain possession they wanted to have, or a certain pursuit they wanted to accomplish. They had their eye on some kind of prestige they wanted to gain, or some popularity they wanted to achieve, and it didn't happen. And because it didn't happen, their whole life is in the dumps. And you and I know people like that. There are people in our world who, because they didn't get somewhere along the line what they wanted, they took their ball spiritually and went home. And they spend the rest of their life with a thankless attitude. They never, ever see the blessing of God because they're not looking at it. You know that great old hymn, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart"? That's the heart of the Christian's vision. Be Thou my vision, Lord of my heart. It's You I see. It's You I want. It's You I long for. And as long as that's your vision, you're going to see the blessing of God pouring into your life. But if your vision is the material world, then you miss all of that. And so you have no cause for thanksgiving, because everything that you've attached your affection to that doesn't work out causes you to be thankless and ungrateful. Number four, a critical spirit. A critical spirit. Here again is something that will steal thankfulness blind. A critical spirit. A person who is bitter, a person who is negative, who has a sour life attitude. It can be produced by a number of things. But if it is running unchecked, it will destroy a thankful heart. It will blind your vision. It will warp your understanding. It will make you useless to God and a pain in the proverbial neck to everybody around you. It'll corrode your spirituality. It'll corrode your love. This critical spirit. This over-analysis of everything. This need to criticize everything that isn't exactly the way it ought to be. Critical spirit makes a bitter, negative, thankless person. And that again rises from pride. It rises from an enlarged ego that says, "I deserve better than this. I'm worthy of better than this." Or it says, "I want people to think I'm better than I really am, so I want stuff around me to make me look good, and it's not making me look as good as I want to look, and so I get sour and bitter." Or, "I've been hurt," or, "I've been wounded by somebody, and I'm just going to take the pain and I'm going to run it through the course of the rest of my life." That kind of critical attitude destroys thankfulness. Number five, impatience. Impatience. Some people don't give thanks simply because God doesn't operate according to their schedule. God isn't working by their clock. They just can't take process. You know people like that? They want instant gratification. Instant gratification. They can't deal with process. They can't say, "Thank you, Lord. I can see your hand at work. The process is slow. I see it. I thank you for it. I praise you for it." They say, "God," it's like the child with a tantrum, "I want it. I want it now. No process. My time, not yours." They want everything fixed in their world, and they want it fixed immediately. They cannot patiently wait. They cannot patiently thank God for an unfinished process. They want God to work for them to accomplish all their goals in their own time frame. Impatience will just destroy thankfulness. Learn to thank God for the process. And learn, if you're looking at your partner in life or your children or whatever it is, for the little signals of process for which you can thank God that He's accomplishing His great purpose. Don't be in a hurry to see the things happen that are happening perfectly on time in His economy. What robs gratitude? Doubt, selfishness, worldliness, critical spirit, impatience. Two more. Coldness. Spiritual coldness. You could call it apathy. You could call it lethargy. I use the word coldness in thinking about the lukewarm heart of the Laodiceans, or thinking about the Ephesian church in Revelation also that had left its first love. There's a lack of zeal for Christian service. There's a lack of love for Christ. There's a lack of diligence in the study of Scripture. There's a lack of passion in worship. There's a neglect of the Bible and neglect of prayer. There's a waste of time on the trivia of life. And it leaves people empty. They just become spiritually indifferent, lethargic, apathetic. And lastly is rebellion. And by this I simply mean just downright, outright, flat out rebellion. I'm not thankful because I'm angry with God. I'm not thankful because I don't like what He's doing in my life. I'm mad and I'm unthankful and I know I'm unthankful and I'm going to stay unthankful. Just plain rebellious. There are people like that. It's amazing. Their lot in life isn't what they want, and they purposely withhold thanks because they're just flat out unthankful. In any form, any of these seven, you have gross sin. If you're not thankful because you're rebellious, because you're cold and indifferent, because you're impatient, because you're critical, because you're worldly, because you're selfish, or because you're doubting God, that's sin. In everything, give thanks. You can't drum it up yourself. That's why God works to will and to do of His own good pleasure in you. He's working to make you thankful, and it's happening through the power of the Spirit of God. If you're filled with the Spirit, He produces it. What happens when you're thankful? God is glorified, you're blessed, churches build up, and the lost are reached. Tremendous impact when you are thankful. And as we yield to the Spirit, God produces that.
That was John MacArthur, president of the Master's College and Seminary, showing you that if you're committed to doing what God expects, you need to nail down this concept of giving thanks in every circumstance. Timely stuff here on Grace to You Weekend, with the Thanksgiving holiday just ahead here in the United States. Of course, after Thanksgiving, the Christmas season will kick into high gear, and you'll probably have some shopping to do. So with that in mind, let me remind you that Grace to You has several great gift ideas, resources with eternal value. To purchase one or more of our devotional books, perhaps, or a MacArthur Study Bible, just go to our website and order yours today. Our web address is gty.org, and let me highlight John's newest devotional, Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 2. With thought-provoking, thoroughly biblical content, it's a resource that can help anyone on your list carve out time each day to pray and meditate on God's Word. Again, go online to gty.org and order the Daily Readings from the Life of Christ, Volume 2, or place your order as you call our toll-free number, 1-800-55-GRACE. Let me also suggest the flagship resource here at Grace to You Weekend, the MacArthur Study Bible. With over 25,000 footnotes that explain virtually every passage of Scripture, the Study Bible is a tool that can help anyone understand the whole counsel of God and apply divine truth to every circumstance. The MacArthur Study Bible comes in the New American Standard or the New King James Versions and is affordably priced in hardcover or leather. Go online to order yours at gty.org or call 1-800-55-GRACE. And now for our teacher, John MacArthur, and the entire staff, thanks for tuning in today. Don't miss Grace to You Television. It's seen Sundays on DirecTV Channel 378. And remember, you can also watch that online at gty.org. And then join us here next week as we continue celebrating 40 years of unleashing God's truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You Weekend.